There's many things in the Bible, if we're honest with ourselves. Honestly, I can't speak for you. I can only speak for me. Many times I do my own wants and desires. How many times do we handle our money, our time, our talents without any regard to what God desires? How often do we go about our day, not one time asking the Lord, what will you have me do today? Well, say, David, does God really want me to go to work? I promise you, God has something at work for you to do other than that line assembly. I promise you, there's somebody he wants you to talk to. I promise you. That's why we're here. So Jonah runs, and God causes a huge storm and batters the ship. Now, you have to understand, these are seasoned sailors. They make their living on the sea. But in all likelihood, because God brought about the storm, it may have been the worst they've ever seen. And we know that they took the stuff on board and they threw it off and they're doing all they can and the boat is in a world of hurt. Now you have to understand, Jonah paid the fare and hours or days before, they didn't care who he was. He gave them the money, they went down, he went to sleep. And now all of a sudden they care. Who are you? What do you do? What country do you go to? And they start asking questions. They're in a panic. And they're praying to their gods. And finally, they don't know else to turn, so they get to Jonah. He says, what do we do with you, Jonah? He said, I'm running from God. I'm a man of God. I'm a prophet. I'm disobeying God. And this whole thing is my fault. And they say, what do you do? He says, throw me in the sea. Well, they knew that was a death wish. And we're not talking a little tiny waves like Lake Erie. We're talking a storm. Who knows, 15, 20, 30 footers. And they know the moment they throw Jonah overboard, he's a dead man. And they're thinking, how can we put that on us? You're a man of God. You told us you're a prophet. And so what'd they do? They rowed hard the best they could. And what happened? They finally said, look, his blood's on our hands. He says, throw me over. So I ask you tonight, who cast Jonah into the sea? And so they take him and they take Jonah and they throw him overboard. Now, you have to understand, Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 says, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of earth. So there had been great debate about whether someone could possibly survive 3 days, whether there's a fish big enough, or whether anybody could possibly live in a whale's belly. I'm here to tell you tonight, beloved, how do we know Jonah survived 3 days? Because the God told us, that's why. See, beloved, let me tell you something. There's nothing wrong with digging into history and studying the Bible. There's nothing wrong with trying to figure out, I wonder how that happened. But at the end of the day, if we can explain a miracle, it's no longer a miracle. I know without a shadow of a doubt that a fish or a whale or a lobster or something swallowed Jonah. Why? Because God said it and it happened, period. We would do so well in our life to stop trying to figure everything out. And did Adam have a belly button? And what came first, the chicken or the egg? And were there dinosaurs back then? None of that matters. Why? Because God said that a whale or a fish swallowed Jonah. We know that. That's all that matters. There's really nothing else to discuss. Why? God said it. Well, then we know what happens. The sailors go from praying to false gods, they start praying to the real God. I'm telling you right now, there was revival on that ship. And they figured out right away that there is one true living God. His name is Jehovah. And I think those men on that ship got saved that day. I think they took all their idols, they took everything else, and I think they threw it away. And if the story ended right there, would that not be a good story to see people come to Christ? Would it not? But praise God, that's not how it ended. That event changed their lives forever. I mean, you have to understand, they're seasoned men. They've been on a boat many times, hundreds of times, maybe thousands of hours. And all of a sudden, without a shadow of a doubt, a man says, yes, I'm a prophet of God. He's thrown in. The sea calms. Boom. Done. Stops raining. Stops winds. Stops waves. It's done. Their life was changed, I promise you, for the rest of their life. Just like that. But then Jonah goes to Nineveh. It's been said that there was over 120,000 people there, a huge city for that time. And that sometimes it would take up to 3 days to walk from end to end of the city. And even after God went through that great measure to save Jonah, to save the Assyrian people, some say it's the absolute biggest revival that's ever happened in the history of the world. Jonah's upset and he pouts. And God does something with Jonah that he doesn't have to do. And guess what that is? He has a conversation with him. Now, have you ever argued with God? I have. Have you ever whined with God? I have. Have you ever told God, that's not fair? I have. Have you ever told God, I'm getting the raw end of the deal here, God. I'm serving you. I'm supposed to be your servant. You're supposed to love me. I'm doing what you tell me to do, God. I have. I've argued with God. I've had a bad attitude with God. I've told God, that's not fair. I've told God, you're kicking me in the teeth. I have. And God has a conversation with Jonah. I'm here to tell you, God doesn't owe us anything. He doesn't owe me the explanation. He doesn't owe me anything. Why? Because he's God. And in Jonah chapter 4, verse 10, then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither mayst it grow, which came up at night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein is more than 60,000 persons, cannot discern between the right hand and the left hand, and also much cattle. God looks at Jonah, and he tells him the whole reason why. He went to such great lengths to get a man. He tells him to go to Nineveh. He says, no way, go jump in a lake. I'm going to Tarshish. He goes to Tarshish. He brings up a storm. Jonah's thrown into the sea. A whale or a fish or a lobster or a catfish gets him and then takes him, barfs him up on land. He goes, he preaches in the Hebrew five words, and a huge, huge revival, the biggest revival that's ever happened in the history of the world, arguably, and 100,000 some people get saved. And God goes to that end. Why? Because God wants to show compassion. That's why. Because God will go to any ends to have a relationship with you, to have a relationship with me. That's why he's God. He says, I want to love you. I want to be with you. And often I see people in this world and I get kind of fleshly. I think to myself, look how they're dressed. Look how they're tattooed or pierced up. Or look how they dress or how they smell, and I get very judgmental. I can't speak for you, but I do. But I'm here to tell you, God doesn't look at people the way I look at people. When God looks at someone, he sees their soul. When God looks at someone, he sees someone I want to have a relationship with. He wants to be with them. And God's telling Jonah, don't you understand, Jonah? Don't you see what I did? I did this because I want to save those people. I want to show them compassion. I want to love on them. I don't want them to go to hell. And someday I'm going to send my son, my only son, to die on the cross for their sins. Why? Because I want a relationship with them. Someone once said that God doesn't want our obedience. He wants us delighting in obedience. It's not doing the will of God, but delighting in doing the will of God. We see because the great length that God wanted to bring revival to Nineveh, to prepare the messenger, to tell the folks about the gospel. So I asked Jonah the question, I ask you the same question, I don't need an answer. Who threw Jonah into the sea? The second person we're going to ask tonight is Joseph. Let's ask Joseph. So we have Jonah here. Jonah, we're going to ask you tonight in front of all these people and the three people that listen on radio, why would you get thrown in the sea? Jonah, who threw you in the sea? Well, David, we read it in chapter 1. The sailors threw Jonah in the sea. We read it. It's right there. Well, let's ask Joseph. I bet you Joseph knows. So Genesis chapter 37. And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, that they might strip Joseph of his coat and his coat of many colors that was with him. And they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread. And they lifted up their eyes and looked. And behold, a company of Ishmaelites came with Gilead and the Carmel, bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, what profit is it we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell to the Ishmaelites, and let our hand be upon him. For he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. And there were my Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Now, of course, you probably know the story, but Joseph is just a young boy. He's 17 years old, and he's obeying his daddy, and his daddy has a very close relationship. And he says, I want you to go see the brethren, your brothers. Let's see how they're doing. They have to understand, Joseph was clueless. He had no idea. See, David, how do you know that? Because he went into a far country away from his dad by himself. That's why. And so he goes in. Now, someone much smarter than me said, hurt is a terrible thing, but there's nothing worse than family hurt. And could you imagine his brother, their own brothers, his own flesh and blood, sold him into slavery. Brother, I'm here to tell you, my friends, bitterness and jealousy and any sin can lead you to do things you never thought you'd do. Leaving everything you know, Joseph is taken away from his dad, away from his mom, away from his family, away from his brothers, away from his own bed, away from his animals, away from everything he ever had. He had to learn a new language, a new culture, a new food. You have to understand something. They said he threw him into a pit. Well, if I take a pit 10, 15, 20 feet and throw you in, do you think it's going to feel good? He may have broken a leg. We don't know. He may have broken an arm. He could have been beat up and bruised, and he's down there. And as we look into the chapter, the Bible says Joseph is saying, please, get me out of here. I'm afraid. Oh, please. And then they say, did we not ignore? Did we not hear? And I bet you for another 30 years, that mind, when they went down and they closed their eyes at bed, they could hear the screams of their own brother, their own flesh and blood. Joseph, I have you a question. Would you tell me? Who threw Jonah into the sea? Joseph, could you tell us? Could you please answer that question for us, Joseph? Can you imagine Joseph is so brokenhearted? I've had hurt before. Oh, I've had hurt. And I've had pain. But there's nothing worse than a pain that happens when you really didn't think you did anything any wrong. And you're getting kicked in the teeth. And people you love desperately are getting just hammered. And it hurts. And I wonder, the pain Joseph felt, it was not a carpet ride to Egypt, beaten and broken and hungry, thinking to himself, I wonder, did he cry himself in exhaustion? My own brothers, what did I ever do? What did I ever do to you? And he walks by himself. Can you imagine? As he screamed, maybe as he was going away, chained, please don't do this, I beg you. Oh, please, I'm so afraid. Please. Joseph, answer the question. Who threw Jonah into the sea, Joseph? Joseph can answer tonight. Joseph goes from trial to trial, from job to jail, to eventually he's second in command of all Egypt. And then it happens. Oh, it happens. Karma, baby. Life turns around. Joseph comes face to face with his brothers. Oh, I tell you, if Hollywood wrote this story, we know how it would end. You make my life hell for 30 years. You wait and see, fellas. I'm second in command. You don't know pain like I've known pain. You're going to pay, fellas. Thank God for grace. Genesis chapter 45. Then Joseph, do you feel the forgiveness and love in his heart? He could not refrain himself for all that stood by him. And he cried, because every man to go out for me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And Joseph wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, you dirty, rotten scumbags, you ruined my life. No. He says, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither, for God did not send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. Verse number 7. Read it with me, please, out loud. And God sent before you to preserve you as a prosperity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was that you that sent me to hither. But God, he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. What was the very first thing out of Joseph's mouth? Pity towards his dad. What a relationship. I can't speak for you, but my dad and I, we are close. I am so close to my father. I love my dad. I talk to my parents almost every day. And he was robbed of that. That sweet relationship. I'm 45 years old, and I still love to get a hug from my mom. I love to kiss my dad's cheek and tell him I love him. And night after night, Joseph didn't have that. But he wasn't bitter. He got past it. He went on. Beloved, I know you have hurt. I've been there. I know the world kicks you in the teeth. I know you're falsely accused. And you say, but you don't understand, David. You understand the pain. I'm here to tell you, Joseph, would you answer us the question, who threw Jonah into the sea? Joseph. Who threw you into the pit? Think about the relationship. You see, Joseph's life, he came to grips with the question, who threw Jonah into the sea years ago? And when God needed Joseph the most, Joseph was ready to answer the call. Why? Because he answered the question years ago, who threw Jonah into the sea? I don't think any one of us would blame Joseph whatsoever if it was a slaughter party there. I don't think we would. I probably wouldn't. My dad, my family robbed, my childhood robbed, my dreams robbed, when I did nothing wrong. I mean, would you be upset if all of a sudden Joseph said, guards, kill them all? Would we? We no different. There's so many times I've had such a rotten attitude about things because I'm not looking at things correctly. I'm not looking at things the way God wants me to look at them. Joseph, I ask you a question. In front of my friends, would you please tell me who cast you in the pit, Joseph? Jonah, who cast you into the sea? Genesis chapter 50, when Joseph's brethren saw that the father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us evil, which he did. So they made up a lie. They say, hey, you know, we'll tell Joseph that dad made him promise not to kill us. And here's a verse in the Bible that I can't believe Joseph said. Genesis 50, verse 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, and to this day to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones, and be comforted them, and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph's response is a beautiful picture of God's grace and mercy. Joseph knew God was in control. He knew that it would have been wicked of him to get revenge. The intentions of his brothers were not good, but the result was miraculous. The lives of millions were saved. He completely and totally forgave his brothers. I've been so selfish at times. I worry about my feelings, my desires, my wants, my day planner, my finances, God. Can you imagine a world today if Christians would quit trying to play God? Tonight, if we asked Joseph the question, who cast Jonah into the sea, he could tell us. The third person we need to ask tonight is a little girl. A little girl. Syrian soldiers would get bored from time to time when they went on raids to the northern Israel, and they took whatever they wanted. And this particular raid, picture a little girl playing in the yard, just a little girl, innocent. Maybe she's playing with dolls. Maybe she's having fun. I don't know. And she's just enjoying herself. And here come some soldiers, and they grab the little girl, sweet, innocent little girl, and they take her out of the yard, and they go. And to make matters worse, that little girl is taken back to Syria. And she's put on the auction block or whatever, and she's sold into slavery, and she happens to go in the very household of the person who's ultimately responsible for her being taken. She's robbed of her childhood. She's taken away from her mommy and daddy. And I wonder how many nights she lay there crying night after night, wanting mom and dad, wanting brothers and sisters, wanting her home, and she's alone by herself in a strange place. As fate would have it, her master gets leprosy. Here comes that karma again. What goes around comes around. Take me out of my home. You get leprosy. I'm going to sit back and love this. I'll be wiping down the tables, but every single time, Naaman, I see you, I'll be watching you fall apart. I'll be loving every minute of it. Was that her plight? 2 Kings chapter 5, you have to understand, she had such the testimony that when she heard about her master having leprosy, what does she do? She says, there's a cure for you. Who does that? People will ultimately understand who cast Jonah into the sea. She had every right. Her whole childhood was stolen. And that little maid says, oh, if you could just get back to my home country, there's a prophet by the name of Elisha, and he could heal him. If you don't believe me, let's read the story in 2 Kings chapter 5. Now Naaman, captain of the host, the king of Syria, was a great man with master and honorable. Because of him, the Lord had given him deliverance into Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my lord, were here with the prophet that is in Samaria, he would recover him of his leprosy. And went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. The response of the little maid is astounding. Her testimony is incredible. For sake of time, we don't have time to read it. But basically what happens is Naaman goes in. He goes to the king, gets all this loot together, and he contacts the king of Israel. The king of Israel panics because he thinks it's a trap, and he's all panic-stricken. And Elisha says, relax, Jack, I got this. Just send her to my house. And he brought in tons and tons and tons of cash, thinking he could buy something. Now, you have to understand what this is. This is really a picture of salvation. A man had a need. What did he have? Leprosy. Was there a cure for leprosy? No, there was not. This man was going to die a cruel, painful death, and there was nothing he could do. He was in charge of the army. If he wanted a new chariot, he got a new chariot. If he wanted a new house, he got a new house. If he wanted more money, he got more money. It didn't matter. Some say he brought with him the accompaniment of $1 million to try to go and get this. And Elisha doesn't even answer the door because he said to say, what I have you cannot buy. And Naaman's ticked. What? You're going to send your servant? He says, go in the Jordan, the dirty, filthy Jordan, and I want you to dip 7 times. And the general's like, forget this, I'm not doing it. He takes off. Thankfully, he had some people with some smarts about him. And they said, look, if this prophet would have told you something crazy, would have you done it? Just why don't you just do what he says? So he goes in, and what's he do? He dips 7 times in the Jordan. And the Bible says he comes out with his like baby skin, healed. What happened? Naaman gets saved. The Bible says he had a sacrifice. And there is references that not just he got saved, but many people in his country got saved because of him. And it changed his life forever. Now you might say, oh yeah, but he talked about going and sacrificing to the temple. Don't you think maybe Elisha had some brains just like you would a brand new Christian? When a brand new Christian comes up, do you tell them everything? No, they grow. So here we are. We're gathered. We're at the bank of the Jordan. And we're watching. Here we go. Count. One and two and three and seven times. And he's completely healed. And he gets saved. You don't think that changed his life forever? Let's bring this little maid. Okay, we've got Jonah here. We've got Joseph here. Let's ask the little maid. She has the answer. Little maid, can you please tell us who threw Jonah into the sea? Who robbed you of your childhood? I wish the story said that the little maid went back home. We don't know that. For all we know, she lived the rest of her life away from her family. But she was raised in a godly home. She had a good testimony. Here's a good-for-nothing slave girl. Says, why don't you do something crazy, like go to a foreign country and talk to some voodoo prophet? And they believed her. His life was changed forever. Naaman's wife was changed forever. His family was changed forever. David, you don't understand. I've been wronged. I know. David, you don't understand. I've been hurt. I've been let down. People have lied about me. You don't understand, David. You're right, I don't. David, you don't understand. They have no right. I got fired from my job. I lost money. I lost finances. I've lost sleep. I've lost my health over it. You understand, David, I was wronged. I know. I know. It's not fair. I know. I ask you tonight, who cast Jonah into the sea? Who threw Joseph into the pit? Who stole the little girl out of her home? We've got to ask two more people. I've got to hurry. The next person we need to ask the question to is Paul and Silas. In Acts chapter 16, and when her masters saw the hope of their gains were gone, they caught up Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace, into the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful to us to receive, to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard. And suddenly there's a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. And Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do not harm thyself, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in the house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So imagine with me, Paul and Silas, here we go. They're in a damp prison. It's cold. I'm sure the air was heavy. It was filled with the unpleasant smell of human waste, urine, moldy bread. Rats and creatures were probably crawling around the cell, and who knows, maybe crawling on them. Last night I had a dream that Frank Wiesner, Alan Holmes, and me were in Africa. I kid you not. And I was sleeping on a cot out in the jungle. And Pastor Holmes, we went into the temple, we call it the temple, okay? I did not have pizza before I went to bed. And there was a black mamba. And he catches it and kills it. And Frank says, I'm not, true story, Frank. Frank's like, I'm not convinced it's dead. And Frank grabs it by its head and looks at me and says, David, you realize if this bit you, it would have killed you. And then I woke up and I'm like, man, what in the world? I had a salad last night. I'm like, if I'm going to dream like that, I better have me some pizza or something. Paul and Silas are laying there open, sores and bleeding. Probably pounding and hurting from the beating they'd had just the night before. Now, I broke my ribs. I know, cry me a river. But I've never been in so much pain in my entire life. And that night, after the morphine wore off, every time someone said it hurt, I told them only when I took a breath. Could you imagine now being some nasty, filthy, damp, cockroach, rat-infested, poop and urine all over the place, open sores with rusty fetters on? Not a very pleasant place, is it? And then the earthquake happens. Here's karma again. Paul and Silas fall off. Yeah. We got beat. We're going to see who gets the beating now, son. Let's go get out of here. Everybody knows if prisoners escape on your watch, you're going to get killed. It's very honorable. Commit suicide. We'll let you. Did that happen? No. No. They could have got revenge. They did not. And what happens? He gets saved. And his family gets saved. And everybody in his house gets saved. Paul and Silas, I got to ask you a question. I thank you for coming tonight. Can you please tell us who threw Jonah into the sea? Paul and Silas, who threw you into jail that night? Little maid, who took you out of your home? Joseph, who threw you into the pit? You know the answer, don't you? The last person I need to ask the question tonight, and we're done, is I need to ask you the question, beloved. This is the hardest message I've ever had to preach because it makes me come face to face with the reality that God makes no mistakes. And the very things I whine about and I cry about and I fuss about are brought to me by God who loves me so much. What makes us think that when a bird falls to the ground that he doesn't care? That he doesn't have my best interest in mind? That he doesn't care for me? And he knows the pain and suffering that you've been through. But he wants that relationship with you. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to believe in him. God wants us to know him, to see beyond what's happening, to see beyond the circumstances of life. When we answer the question of who, we'll be able to get over the whys, the hurts, the bitterness, the trials, the difficulties of life. Every now and then I'll see a news article. Mom kills a daughter. Heroin overdose. And I'm like, we just want kids. Is that so much to ask? We went through such, and I praise God for my boys. My wife and I were just talking about the medical bills today. And I said, we'd do it all over again. And sometimes I think to myself, people just, they have babies just like it's candy. And there were times I said, God, it's not fair. It's not fair. David, who cast Jonah into the sea? Who put Paul and Silas in jail? Who threw Joseph into the pit? Who took the little maid out? At that very moment, still stinging and hurting. Ultimately, people were saved. Lives were changed. I'm not the world's best radio host at all, not even close. There's times I take my headphones and I'm like, who in the world would even listen to me? I'm not even the greatest coach. I've lost more games than I've won. But I'm telling you, I want to make a difference in this world. When I die, whether tomorrow or 30 years from now, I want people, I don't care about whether they thought I was a great host. I want them to say, David Weirich made a difference. He made a difference. Don't you want to make a difference? Don't you want someone to think that you love the Lord and your heart and your mind and your life is changing others? Beloved, don't you want that? It'd be a huge tragedy if we sat here tonight and everything in our life that we go through to not know why. So, David, how could I know why when you answered the question, who threw Jonah into the sea? God knows every number of hair on your head. For some of us, it's an easier job than others. I told Annette, I said, I don't know why. I'm growing hair everywhere but where I want it. My back, my ears, my nose. The hair on my head is turning gray. I told her just tonight, I said, if I get it on my ears too much, would you tell me? She goes, oh, I'll tell you. God has orchestrated everything in our life. Why? He loves us more than we'll ever know. God cares for us, beloved. He has a plan for your life. He has your best interest in mind. He makes no mistakes. But I'm here to tell you, in love and compassion, with every being that I have, I would not be here if I didn't love and care for you. I would not be here. But I'm here to tell you, it's time to let the bitterness go. It's time to let the anger go. It's time. I didn't say it'd be easy. I didn't say you haven't got the shaft. You probably have. I'm not going to sit there and say you haven't mistreated. You probably have. But when we can answer that question, who cast Jonah into the sea? We can answer a lot of other questions in life. And only God, only God will get the glory when we do. Because ultimately, isn't that what we want? Now, beloved, it's a hard message for me to preach, the hardest I've ever preached. But it helped me. I want you to answer me now. Who cast Jonah into the sea? Shout it out. God did. I want you to answer me. Who cast Joseph into the pit? Beloved, answer me, please. God did. Beloved, I want you to answer me the question. Who threw Paul and Silas in prison? I want you to answer me, beloved, who took that little maid, that little girl, that sweet, innocent girl, who took her out of her home and, in our eyes, ruined her life? I want you to answer that question to me tonight. Who did, beloved? Who put Jesus on the cross? Beloved, answer me, please. God did. Now, don't answer this out loud. Because you have trials and you have tribulations, because I do. Who gave you those trials and tribulations? If your answer is honest with yourself, you would have to say, God did. We have to submit ourselves to Him and ask Him, Lord, what will you have me do? With heads bowed and eyes closed and nobody looking around.